Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week's program is coming to you from Texas, and I'm visiting this week with Russell Graves. You can find him at russellgraves.com. Russell is a photographer. He's also a teacher, and we're going to learn a little bit more about him here in just a moment. But before we get there, let me kind of update you on ZimCom activities. While I'm speaking, Cindy is just arriving in San Francisco to attend the National Biodiesel Conference, where she's going to be the biodiesel blogger this year on the Biodiesel Conference blog. You can find that at blog.biodieselconference.org. This week, I'm going to be at the Fort Worth Stock Show doing a little Drive Green work for John Deere for the Drive Green Utility Tractor Show, and you can find that at drivegreentractors.com. So we're out and about. It's a busy time of year. A lot of shows going on, and we got a lot coming up. Looking ahead, we can look to Commodity Classic, which is going to be back down here in Texas in Grapevine in just a couple weeks, for example. So when it comes to the agri-blogging highway, the ZimCom crew is out and about and burning up some miles. I decided to do a little layover here in Texas in between the cattle industry convention and the Fort Worth Stock Show, and that gave me an opportunity to call Russell, and he was gracious enough to allow me to come spend a little bit of time with him here on a weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, and talk a little bit of shop. So that's what we've been doing. So let's get to learn a little bit about this guy who's I kind of learned just from, I don't know how exactly I got connected, finding that he was shooting wildlife photos and some absolutely beautiful work. And Russell, welcome to the Zimcast, first of all.
Thanks for having me.
Let's tell me a little bit about your background for people who I'm sure don't know you, and then we'll kind of get into how you actually got into all this.
Well, you know, it seems like I've been shooting pictures half my life, which I have. I'm 39 years old. I really got into photography in high school. I was 17 years old. My brother lived in Alaska for a while. He was stationed there in the military and enjoyed photographing Alaska, and he wanted to buy a new camera, so he sent me his old one. And when I was using that old camera, I really became enamored with photography. I grew up on a small-time cattle ranch in northeast Texas, and when I was supposed to be looking for cattle, I was spending too much time trying to find things like armadillos and deer and any other kind of critter I could find in which to photograph. And so from there, it kind of became a natural offshoot. You know, photography, I really enjoyed it because it fit my lifestyle. It fit all the things I like to do outdoors in terms of hunting and fishing and even agriculture. Mm-hmm. My degree is from East Texas State University in production agriculture. And so early on, I started photographing all those things that I knew and I loved. And slowly but surely, it became a business. The photography became in demand for a number of editorial and commercial clients. And from there, using electronic technologies like mm-hmm. digital photography and high-speed internet, I've been able to really grow the business vertically over the past few years.
Well, I've been following RussellGraves.com now for a couple of years, and it really has developed a lot, I think. And talking with you about some of the plans we'll maybe even mention here, the internet, I think, well, it's certainly driven our business. There's no question about it. It's everything we do is online, essentially. I mean, maybe taking the picture isn't, but where does that picture wind up most of the time? On a website or a web page or a photo album or something. So, well, when you look at obviously having a passion for something you like to do, now people always ask me, well, how do you make money doing something you like to do? Well, I think you're living proof that I don't think you mentioned teaching, but you are teaching right now still,
yes.
too, though, right?
Yes, yeah. I am. Yeah, I've been a teacher at Childress High School for the past, this is the 16th year I've been here. For the first 15 years, I was agricultural science instructor and did the whole mm-hmm. FFA thing and traveled a lot with kids to various conventions and contests and camps, not only all over Texas, but, you know, we traveled to the National FFA Convention first in mm-hmm. Kansas City and then in Louisville and then here lately in Indianapolis. I stepped away from those roles last year because I've got two small children, and to give myself more time with them and more time to devote to the photography and some of the other activities I pursue. I'm just a regular 8 to 3:30 classroom teacher now. But like you say, the electronic technologies back in, I think it was 2005, when all those technologies converged at one time here in Childress is when things really got good for me. Digital cameras became such where they exceeded film in the terms of quality they could produce. And then we got DSL way out here in Wild West Texas. Mm-hmm. And once we were able to get that, then it enabled me to really come through with all the thoughts and, mm-hmm. and strategic plans that I had where I knew I could take the business.
Yeah. Well, and so now you've got this dual income. You know, mm-hmm. you're teaching, but at the same time, Your photography and a certain part of that web related has really helped drive your business there, which as we've talked today has grown significantly. So when you come to that, tell us the kind of how would you describe your photographic profession? I mean, how would you classify that?
It's hard to pin it down because it seems like every day it evolves a little more. Yeah. Really, I've tried to. I grew up in a little town in Northeast Texas, and I've got to digress a little bit to tell a little bit of background story so it puts everything else that's going on today in more context. I grew up in a town with 250 people mm-hmm. and graduated with 15 in my graduating class, and we were a big class. And so I've always loved living in the country and living a rural kind of lifestyle. And so and that kind of lifestyle is really what I try to bring to my photography, whether it's my hunting and outdoor photography mm-hmm. or whether it's my agriculture and rural lifestyle photography. I really try to bring that essence of living in a small town and living, you know, in a lot of ways kind of in a simpler lifestyle than what people in urban areas may live from it on a day-to-day basis. And so from there, that really kind of flavors what my photography is all about. It's really trying to capture a lifestyle. And one of the things I hear from a lot of people who email me is that they say it's almost like I'm right there with you when you take that picture. I've seen that scene so many times, and I've been there so many times, but I just never knew how to capture it. And that's what we really appreciate about what you do is you're able to capture those moments that we know and we hold dear. And so really, I've really built the whole business around this lifestyle. And it's mainly been a Texas lifestyle mm-hmm. just because that's where I'm from and Texas is the market I'm familiar with. But it's really that same lifestyle type of photography has translated and transcended just the boundary around Texas where it's nationwide. Now I'm beginning to start doing a lot more international type work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what tweaked my interest even more was learning that you've had an opportunity to do some more agricultural-related photography as opposed to, say, wildlife or nature, however people like to classify things, and it isn't always that easy. I agree with you, you know. So you are kind of moving in that direction a little bit, it seems like, at least with some of your clientele.
Yeah, you know, early on when I first started photographing, I started, you know, again, photographing the things I was familiar with, which were beef cattle and ranch life and the wildlife associated with that. And so all along, I've always kind of maintained a presence with agriculture photography and trying to photograph the people mm-hmm. and the things and the events that make life out in the country so special. And as time has gone along, mainly over the past year and a half, I've really tried to ramp that presence up. I've always mm-hmm. done a fair bit of work with some editorial clients, but it seems lately some more commercial clients. Novartis is one of the campaigns I've worked on lately. Trying to do more work with some commercial clients, mm-hmm. and so I'm trying to ease a lot more into the agricultural line of photography and really try to take that same model I've used with the outdoor lifestyle and move it into more of the agricultural lifestyle and really create not a separate branch of RussellGraves.com, but really a branch mm-hmm. that mirrors the same type of style and same type of look and feel, but more in strictly an agriculture mm-hmm. arena.
Well, I love it, and you know, some of the photographs are that I have seen on there and thought were so awesome. We did a little drive around on some property out here, and it's just amazing that some of this is just kind of like in the backyard almost.
It really is, you know, with my job teaching. And this year it's not so much of a concern as what it has been in the past. Again, in the past when I was doing ag and FFA, I was just gone a lot. And so I learned to be real efficient with my time and develop photo areas that are literally within just a few miles of my house. Mm-hmm. And so now I still try to hear that same model and just try to be real efficient with what I do and try to have a good eye and be able to spot stuff and not so I can create photos spontaneously instead of having to go really work hard at trying to find those good photo opportunities.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice thing to be able to do. I'd have to be home more in order to do it. I mean, I love doing photography, and that's part of why I wanted to have a chance to meet with you. Is it's you always gain ideas talking to other people who are kind of in the business or doing what you do, and that's a value I see in the professional organizations I belong to. And you know, we mentioned LPC and AAEA, and listeners to this will understand who those organizations are: NAFB, NAMA. But really, yeah, those, I think I've learned more there. I've got teachers, and I know you're one too, that may not like hearing it sometimes, but it seems like I've gotten more there a lot than maybe I did back at the University of Florida once upon a time. Well, as you look at what you're doing, what right now, you talked about sort of mirroring RussellGraves.com from an ag perspective. Mm-hmm. That's a new project you have coming up?
Yes. I don't have a definite timeline yet, but it's in the works. I'm hoping within the next month or so I'm going to launch PicturePasture.com. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I've got a number of ag images on RussellGraves.com right now, but I'm going to be migrating those off of RussellGraves.com and creating the site strictly for agriculture. You know, hunting and fishing has been one of my passions for a long time, but then again, so is agriculture. You know, mm-hmm. I've been an ag teacher for 15 years. I'm around farmers and ranchers and farm kids and ranch kids mm-hmm. all the time, and I'm a product of a Texas ranch, and we did a little bit of farming on the side, so that lifestyle really appeals to me as well. So really, again, I'm just trying to create mm-hmm. the same thing I have with hunting and fishing and outdoors with agriculture, and really, you know, whether you're just someone who wants to browse and you don't have any interest in licensing photos or licensing my services, just a place for people to go and they can connect with maybe how they were raised mm-hmm. or maybe what it was like when they were on their grandparents' farm way back in the mm-hmm. day. Just give them that connection and that emotional connection back to when they thought life was a little bit simpler and, you know, maybe back to the good old days. On my website right now, you know, I mentioned in my bio that I think that you know, it'd be neat to go back in time and see all these little Texas towns that I love so much back when they were in their heyday, right, when Saturday afternoons were so special and everybody would gather in town. And then I realized with the digital technology of today and the high-speed internet and all these really neat toys, I've got to make my vision of life happen. You know, maybe right now is the good old days for me. And so just trying to capture those moments is what I'm really passionate about.
Well, it will be the good old day someday, let's face it, whether we like it or not. Well, I know we've got some geeks out there, too, in the mm-hmm. audience, and photographers and others. Let's just maybe touch a little bit on, because I'm always interested to know, I shoot Nikon, but Russell shoots Canon, and I'm a Mac person now, a convert, although I do slide a little bit every now and then when I have to. But you're using Mac. Why don't we just talk a little bit about some of the technology we are using that's letting us do this? You know, from the standpoint of when you go out and shoot, I think it's always interesting to know. People say, do you shoot raw images or do you shoot JPEGs? And then what do you do with those when you bring them back into your studio, you know?
Yeah, I shoot everything on raw. And really, that's kind of a throwback to when I first started doing digital photography. Back when I first started, a lot of the magazine clients with whom I work, they at the time, they weren't sure what they wanted to use. Some wanted TIFF files, some wanted JPEGs, some wanted the RAW images. And so originally shooting RAW was a way that I could convert to any kind of format, so it really gave me a lot more versatility. And so I don't do a lot of real heavy-handed mm-hmm. image editing. And so really having, you know, you hear a lot of camera geeks talk about 8-bit and 14-bit and 16-bit files. I don't really know what that means. I know it means something, but I'm not sure what it means. So I don't do a lot of image editing or nothing really heavy-handed other than just maybe tweaking exposure or contrast here and there. But I shoot all on JPEG because, again, I want that versatility to be able to convert it to multiple different formats with no loss at all. You know, I use Mac computers and manage my image library in Lightroom. I've got about 60,000 slide images on file, and I've got about 150,000 digital images that I manage, and I use Lightroom to help manage all of that. you know, really all I do is import them into the computer mm-hmm. with some baseline information embedded into them, just my name, address, website address, all the essential metadata that I need to tag those images with. And then from there, I take the selects and keyword them and put them on my website almost instantaneously, so that way they're live. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them, I work with a company called AgStock USA mm-hmm. that represents some of my work. I'll send some to them. I work with another agency called Wendigo Images. Wendigo is primarily hunting and fishing and outdoors. I'll send a few to them, and then the rest get archived away on a mm-hmm. on it's called a Drobo.
Yeah.
It's an array of hard drives that's self-backup hard drives that I back everything else up on and just go out and shoot more pictures and keep cranking. It's a pretty simple workflow. It's pretty fast. I mean, mm-hmm. Some photographers, when they hear me say this, I cringe, but your agricultural audience can appreciate this. I take the mindset of photography while I try to take really good, really meaningful, mm-hmm. technically excellent photographs. At the same time, I look at them like they're a commodity. It's like I'm trying to produce corn or produce cotton or grow cattle. It's a commodity in the sense that I'm not going to waste too much time on an image that I can't retrieve. I mean, I know some guys who'll mm-hmm. sit and they'll brag about working on a single image to try to optimize it for 8 or 10 hours. Well, I just don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
And don't know if I want the luxury. So my model's based on taking images, trying to make something meaningful, bringing them in, and then putting some kind of context behind them, whether it's we talked earlier, I'm doing more and more video. And that video that I do includes live action video as well as still photography. You know, interlaced with ambient sounds, interlaced with audio interviews, interlaced with all those cool multimedia projects that the technology has democratized for hacks like me,
mm-hmm.
and made it where I'm capable of doing things like that, and really trying to take those images and creating some kind of context with them, whether that context is for a magazine client, whether that context is for a commercial client for some kind of ad campaign, or whether the context is just for my website for other people to see.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a real good, pretty comprehensive look at that whole workflow, which, you know, when we go to an Ag Media Summit, for example, we have whole lessons on this. So, again, like I say, this is why it's always so interesting to be able to interact with a fellow professional, because we shoot a lot of photos. I mean, I shot, 625 last week in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple days in between shooting, probably 400 or 500 here in Fort Worth this week, and next week it'll be a couple hundred down in Florida. And yeah, you don't have a whole lot of time to spend because they are shot mainly for clients, and usually they'll take and go post-produce those on their own, at least in my case, you know. I did just join National Association of Photoshop Professionals in the hopes that I might find some way to learn more about Photoshop there, because if I'm not if I got this right, you're probably like me, you've done a lot of self-teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we
that's right.
I know I've never sat down in a class and had anybody show me how to take a picture or edit a picture or anything. It's kind of like going online and Googling, for looking in forums and using the help and the manual, and a lot of it's some blood, sweat, and tears too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it's been for me. I've made my share of mistakes. I think really what helps me today is the fact for 15 years I shot slide film.
Yeah.
You know, from 1990 to 2005, I shot slide film exclusively. And when you're a poor ag teacher, like I was at the time, you know, when you put the pencil to the paper and you realize for every roll of film, 36 exposure film you shoot, it's costing you $12 a roll to shoot, and you've got a finite number of images you can shoot because you're paying for these photo shoots out of your pocket to begin with, you learn to get good with the camera. So you learn to try to get it right the first time. And because of that, and because, you know, and I'm not saying that to say like I'm an expert photographer by any means, because I do still make my share of mistakes, but I learned early on about exposure and about composition and about all those little magical pieces that make a good photograph a good photograph. And so that way, now with digital, when I take them, that saves my back-end work, because mm-hmm. I tried to get it right the first time, and it saves the back-end work of me having to sit behind a computer and work on it. Because, you know, I don't think I'm unlike anybody else. I enjoy my computers and I love them, but they're kind of tools for me.
Right.
And I'd rather be out taking pictures, or I'd rather be out kicking a soccer ball with my son, mm-hmm. or playing the guitar with my daughter, or just having fun with them fishing or something, than I would be sitting behind a computer all day. So right. I try to get things right on the front end and then minimize my work on the back end. It's just my way of trying to keep things efficient and trying to keep me sane, and you know, so I'm not having to spend yeah. all of my time just sitting behind a computer. Because a typical photo shoot, I went on a shoot, 3-day shoot back in November. No, December. I mean, I shot 6,000 images in 3 days. I mean, mm-hmm. it was just crank. It was, you know, it was like a factory. And when I got finished, when I culled those images, and there's a common question I get a lot, you know, how many, when you go on a typical photo shoot, what percentage of images are keepers? Well, yeah, I try to tell them, you know, really a pretty high percentage, because of this 6,000 images I shot, 90% I kept. And the 10% I didn't keep were either a little bit out of focus, and that's kind of the camera's fault, or they just weren't what I was looking for.
And so when you import those then into your computer and look at them, you'll go ahead and delete something that's, you know, let's say it's unusable. You know? Because I know that sometimes the camera will just, you know, the autofocus might just spin mm-hmm. all of a sudden. Right when you were taking the shot or yes. something, you know. So you don't keep those. Because no. I know that's something that's come up, is, you know, people tend to archive everything. And I know I've been guilty of it and going back and looking and said, why did I even let those take up hard drive space, yeah. you know?
Yeah, for me, you know, the hard drives, well, in the beginning, my editing style came from when you kept slides, you know, you get 15,000, 60,000 slides. That's taking up a lot of room.
Yeah.
And so my editing style came from that state of mind first, that if it's not usable, there's no point in keeping it. So I'd throw it all away. And then when I start shooting exclusively digital, it's kind of the same thing. If it's a little bit out of focus, and if the out of focus is because the lens defocused, I'll typically delete it. Now, there are some occasions where it may be motion blur that looks completely appropriate.
And you may want that effect.
For what I'm trying to accomplish, yeah. I'll keep stuff like that. But if it's just, if it's poor exposure, mm-hmm. or if it's out of focus, or in a lot of cases, if it's poorly composed, beyond what I can fix with just a little bit, a light amount of cropping, I get rid of it. And you know, and my workflow surprises people, because I tell them because people ask questions via, you know, in some online forums I'm on, or via email, that how much image work do you put in, and really almost everything you see online on my website, or anything you might have seen of mine in most print publications, are just how they came out of the camera.
How about a question I know I get asked sometimes is, are you shooting everything manual in terms of setting all the settings versus program mode or automatic, I guess is called too?
Yeah, a lot of stuff I do is in manual. I can't put an exact percentage on it, but I would guess at least half of what I shoot is my camera's in manual mode. Yeah. And there's a reason behind that. And the reason is, especially with like outdoor photography, take example, like I love wild turkeys. Take mm-hmm. example for wild turkeys. Turkey's got a real dark body. And if you let your camera decide what kind of exposure to make, it's going to miss it, because it's going to overexpose the background and to try to expose correctly for that dark body turkey. So typically what I do is understand light, understand middle tone, and what the camera's attempting mm-hmm. to see, and I'm able to dial that in myself. And so no matter what the camera's telling me the exposure ought to be, I'm confident that it's going to be right once yeah. it comes out of the camera. One of the things I absolutely love about my Canon cameras, and it's not exclusive to Canon because I know Nikon has these capabilities as well, is the fact that when I'm doing like a multiple flash setup, you know, maybe doing mm-hmm. a setup of a person under tricky lighting situations, so I'm going to use two or three of my portable flash units. The wireless capabilities of these cameras, both Canon and Nikon, allows you to let the camera do all the heavy lifting to figure out these complicated exposures, where all you've got to worry about is setting up the flashes in the right place and then composing the scene like you want it. And so, you know, when I'm shooting multiple flash setup, a lot of times you got to do a little thinking. You can't just put on automatic and think you're going to get it like you want it. But I'll let the camera do a lot of the heavy lifting and calculating in that case.
Because the camera can do it a lot faster than mm-hmm. we can.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and there's some cases when if I'm shooting really fast and some scenes that I don't have time to be changing mm-hmm. settings a lot, and if it's kind of a middle tone scene where there's not a lot of highlight areas, there's not a lot of deep shadow, I'll put my camera on aperture priority, and I'll set my aperture and let the camera decide the shutter speed.
Yeah.
And just let it rip, and they're usually pretty accurate. But you know, it all goes back to, you know, people talk about, well, you must have some really good cameras, or you probably hear the same thing, Chuck, that you must have mm-hmm. some really good cameras. And I do have good cameras, but the point is, that's like telling Bobby Flay, you must be a great chef because you've got some awesome pans. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a lot of it, the yeah. human element, whether it's me as a photographer or you as a photographer or anybody else as a photographer, or no matter what you do, you take out photography right. and put in some other kind of activity. It has a lot to do with the human element. It's not so much about the equipment. It's
well, absolutely. I mean, to start with, I know people say, you know, I'll see them in the back of a room, and they're just zooming all the way up to the front, getting a shot of a speaker, let's say, because I do a lot of that kind of stuff. And then they kind of look at me because I'm, like, on one side of the speaker. I'm down on the floor in front of them. I'm on the other side. I'm behind them. I'm in the back where they are. And I've probably shot 25 photos in all different angles, and they've shot one mm-hmm. and wonder why I get a better picture sometimes, you know. But you really got to work at it, and it's not just like you said, spending say $5,000 on a camera does not guarantee you're going to take good photographs.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it helps. It's a tool. I mean,
it's like,
you know, it's the whole progression of why people went from using two mules and a single row plow mm-hmm. to using, you know, John Deere equipment that'll cover, you know, the big plows that'll do a 60-foot swath at one time. I mean, it's about efficiency, and it's about using the technology you right. have to do a better job. But at the same time,
I'm glad you're saying that so that Cindy can hear this. I'm going to cut that sound bite out for her. Because she uses a T word for some of the stuff I buy. I call them tools.
Yeah.
But she spells it a little differently, and it comes out toys, yeah. you know?
but you use those tools, and again, you use a sentence like, Chuck Zimmerman is a good photographer. You take out photographer, and whatever you may be good at, the tools that you use to be good at it help, but it's all about yeah. the creative process and using whatever God gives us, you know, creatively or intellectually or you know, you can come up with a whole list of adjectives, but it really mm-hmm. it comes down to that human element. And again, that's, you know, that's what I try to adhere to, whether I'm a photographer myself or whether, you know, in my pictures I try to add that human element of some way to help people connect.
Well, we're probably getting near the end of the program here, but I do have a couple more questions. One I'll ask is, because in the photography I've done, I know I have this, but if we could just have one anecdote, one little story here, like, what would be an example of, like, one of the favorite pictures you've ever taken, and what would kind of make it so, you know?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, that's a hard one to answer, because, you know, the thing is, you know, there's been so mm-hmm. many memorable moments of when you're photographing, and gosh, you put me on the spot on that one.
Yeah, I know. We didn't talk about that one beforehand.
That's a hard one to answer.
I'll go first, to help maybe a little bit in that. Like, I've had the opportunity to shoot the Indianapolis 500, mm-hmm. and I think it was 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more at this point. Peyton Manning was waved the green the flag to start the race with the ethanol logo, and I have a shot from across the track of that particular moment with the flag totally waved out, stretched as he's waving it with this determined look on his face, and it just, you know, it's just one of those little standouts. Yes, there's lots of them, but it's one that I don't know, just for some reason that has always stuck with me as one of those, quote, favorite photos I've ever taken. And it was literally, you know, kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. I mean, I knew I wanted to get it, But getting to the spot where I could do it in a crowd of people when you had just a couple instant, you know, seconds literally to get there, point the camera up and click, and it just worked, you know.
I think one of my good examples of that, and it's a good example on a lot of different levels, and for fear of sounding a little bit sappy and melodramatic when I tell this story, when I first made the switch to digital, I had this picture in mind. You know, at the time, my daughter was about five, and my son, no, she was five or six, and my son was two at the time. And my mom had just, and I'd forgotten I had it, but my mom had brought out, my mom and dad, they came out to visit, and they brought me this little red wagon that I'd had when I was a little boy. It was a red flyer mm-hmm. wagon. And I'd forgotten, I didn't even know they had it. It had been stored away in a shed for the past 30 years. Well, they brought it to me and said, we thought you might want to have it. And so we were going fishing one day, and my daughter... Or my son wanted to ride, and my daughter wanted to pull him in that wagon. And so I just got her to carry your fishing pole, you know, let's go over here. And while she was pulling him in the wagon, he was holding the tackle box, she was carrying the fishing pole. One of those classic moments that if you grew up in the country, you understand, you just get it. You understand right. what it's like. And I shot those pictures, and that moment sticks out being special for a variety of reasons. Number one, the magazine Country. Have you ever seen it? Mm-hmm. They do like Country and Country Woman and I think Farm and Ranch Living, I think is the name of the magazine, or just Farm and Ranch. The first digital cover they ever used was that image for the whole publication. They'd never used a digital image before until that one. So that was kind of special in that regard. The second thing is when I showed my wife that picture, it brought tears to her eyes. And then the third thing... that when I showed my mom and dad that image, my mom started crying because she said, you know, that little boy in that wagon looks like you when you're a little boy. And it's just so special to see that wagon still being in use all these years later. Yeah. And that was kind of neat. And, you know, that's just one example of many. You know, I really like what I do. I really enjoy taking pictures and photographing it. And, you know, the biggest payment I can receive for an image is when somebody looks at it and just says, "Wow, you know, how did you get that image? It's pretty neat." And the stuff I do, the thing I'm most proud of. I'm not going to far off exotic locations to do what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not traveling like, you know, God bless the National Geographic photographers who spend months away mm-hmm. at a time. I'm capturing these little special moments here, literally in my own backyard, of people and places that I'm so familiar with, and it's a blessing to find a commercial use out of what I'm able to do. Because really, if I didn't get paid for it, I'd still be doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just that much of a passion of mine. But the fact that I do get paid to do it, it makes the blessing even more special.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, what it does, it allows me to concentrate on what's most important to me, and that's raising my family. But raising my family in a rural lifestyle that I grew up in, that I'm passionate about passing on to my kids, instead of me having to be forced mm-hmm. to move off to a big city in order to make a living for my family there mm-hmm. and provide them what I want. I can raise them in a rural town where, in this part of Texas, it's a fact the economies are marginal, but I've been able to carve out a niche for me and my mm-hmm. family that allows us to stay here and me to raise them in those rural lifestyles that I was mm-hmm. raised in. And for that, I'm just forever thankful.
Well, I say amen to that. Let's, before we go here, I know I mentioned russellgraves.com at the beginning, but if somebody wants to get in touch, I assume, and I know they can get in touch with you through the website.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you're... somebody's looking for some agricultural photography or photography in general, you might want to consider giving Russell a call, and hope people will take a moment to visit and yeah. see what they find there.
Or if they just want to say hello, you know, whether they're looking for photography or not.
It's nice to know somebody's visiting, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, just send me a note, and if you... You know, I answer questions from people all the time, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to do so. So, you know, yeah. anybody just wants to send an email and chat about photography.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Russell. I really enjoyed having the opportunity to visit here and share the conversation with the AgWired community, which we're going to do here through the Zimcast. And Once again this week, I'm not going to end the program with some music, as I usually like to do, just because of time. And, you know, there's a football game on this evening I think I might watch instead of spending some time on that computer. So, again, that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.